Sometimes dead is better.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. We have now come to a conclusion on our month of chaos over here at Give Me Back My Action and Horror Movies. I am one of your hosts, Nate. And with me, as always, is Pete. Say hello, Pete.
Hi, Pete. It's so sad, but this was so much fun.
Fun. Next to him is Charlie. As always, say hello, Charlie, with your deep sea shenanigans that you keep pawning off on me, just like Pete pawns off his anime shit. Say hello.
Hello. You just don't like creature features, I've decided. You just do not like them.
Yeah, so I'm getting the vibe here. So this is going to turn into another slugs, huh?
No.
Oh, okay. It better not. No. But you know what? I came prepared because as this month is known as the month of chaos, I'm like, you know what? There's not enough chaos. There's not enough shenanigans.
Uh-oh.
So I'm not going to let Nate pull another Deep Star 6. I came prepared. I brought the one, the only Leviathan onto the show. Mr. Leviathan, will you please say hello to my co-host?
Say hi, motherfucker.
It's Steve from Bucket of Chum.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
What's up?
Canadian, right?
I am.
Canadian waters.
This only worked doing it this way. Nate and Pete have no idea I was bringing Steve on.
We had no idea the Leviathan was going to be on, and it turns out he's Canadian.
I had
scientific
Steve put his picture up as the Leviathan creature. His name is Leviathan. I could have easily just went, hey, guys, look who our guest is before we started the show and took all the fun of that reaction right there away from the listeners. Yeah. And I wasn't going to do it.
Buckets of chum on our.
Yep. It works. It's underwater.
It's perfect. It's deep sea. Let's get it on.
That's it, man. So, yeah, it's a four top for our month of chaos tonight, boys.
Amazing. I'm kind of speechless at the moment. Also, Mr. Leviathan, you get to watch a better movie than anything that's probably on your podcast. I am so sorry.
Honestly, this was such a breath of fresh fucking air. Good God.
Or fresh like seawater.
Yeah, fresh the freshest, water. Fresh desalinized seawater.
There you go. As long as it's not the pee from Waterworld, it's all good.
Gotta do what you gotta do, man. Gotta do what you gotta do.
Gotta survive. Gotta survive. All right, boys. Well, before we jump into it, I say we hit the trailer real quick. Let Nate and Pete get their composure gathered from the giant surprise. And then we'll jump right into it. What do you say, boys?
Perfect.
Hell yeah.
It was an experiment that tampered with nature's most basic laws. It went terribly wrong. It was buried 5 miles down. Now, a crew of undersea miners is about to stumble upon this terrifying secret.
Jack to Seven, what's going on out there, Williams?
My God, are you picking this up?
Look at that. Leviathan.
Currently with a Russian fleet in the Baltic Sea.
Currently it's rusted junk and we're looking at it. What's your air reading?
20 minutes.
Do something quick!
I've lost him. My crew's in jeopardy.
But you have no proof.
I'm ordering you to start an emergency medical evacuation.
What if it turns out to be nothing?
Oh, it's already killed one man.
Fire me to stop. I'm losing compression. I can't breathe.
Whatever got Six-Pack and Bowman, it's still here.
I feel something. Somebody's alive in here.
What's going on? Six-Pack. Six-Pack, answer.
Hey, don't go in there. Don't touch anything!
What are you trying to tell us, Doc?
It absorbs the intelligence of its victim.
Oh, God! Ah,
thank goodness you're still alive.
When are you coming?
I say we protect ourselves.
Leviathan.
Now that's a trailer, boy.
That's a spooky trailer.
I was so happy when I heard that, when I was like, oh, this is like a little bit different movie voice guy, but it talks the whole way. All it's the action the stuff's pounding. Happening. Yes.
Yeah.
Nope. I was real happy with this one.
Fuck me. I miss those trailers.
Yeah. Yeah. They just don't exist like that anymore. Instead,
no. Well,
it would have like a slow down song about the rain. That's what it would do. Like a slow down Smashing Pumpkins song about raining, done by a choir of angel children.
Have they done a movie called Emo Shark? Because I think that's something that probably needs to happen pretty soon.
It needs to happen. Everything needs to happen with Shark in front of it, just so I can keep making like more content. Really.
Yeah, you're not going to run out anytime soon.
Oh, God, no. I'm a few years away from running out of content. So, like, I'm good for now, but like, the more ridiculous, the better. I'm all for it.
Each year, the Shark Studios, they have like quota they got to meet. So you're good.
We're going to start up a petition. Please make more shark movies for Bucket of Chum, and just have this whole thing going. Have a whole campaign behind shark movies.
We'll
like, wow, they really love us. No, we just love Bucket of Chum. We just want we want him to go through pain watching all your movies. Listen to us, Fred Olin Ray. Make some more shark movies.
Yeah, he should make more shark movies. I'd be much fucking happier if he made more.
Always a good time with Fred. That's for sure.
Always. Guaranteed or double D money back.
Just the double D, I think, is all you're gonna get out
of
that.
That's all.
There is no money. There's no money back with Fred. He spends every nickel. That's pretty much it.
Well, this is all right. You threw a curveball at me, Charlie. Step one. Now, this was a Charlie pick, so I'm going to have you go last.
Okay.
So, well, no, I'm going to have Steve go last because he's our guest.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Pete, what was your first time with Leviathan?
I don't remember the first time I've seen this. It wasn't in the theaters. So this was, I don't know, I think it was fairly recently. I guess only a couple of years ago. And I remember Ernie Hudson was in it, and that's about it. So this was kind of like watching it brand new.
Ah, cool. Like fresh.
Yeah, it was fresh. Yeah.
Sea Captain Log.
Sure.
Sure.
Yes.
Sure.
Gonna need some help with my boat terminology tonight, gentlemen.
How about this? Why don't you go, Nate? What is your experience with this movie?
Last night.
Oh, you're really?
First time watching this.
No kidding.
As we know that I am not a sea monster movie guy. I don't like watching seamen fight monsters. It doesn't really do well for me.
Joking.
What?
Right,
I don't know what you're talking about.
They are just men of the sea. What could we say? They're seamen.
That's right.
Yes. That's right. I'm sorry. Did you not want me talking about all the seamen in this movie? Jeez.
That's disrespectful to all the seamen currently out there fighting right now.
Yeah. Support your seamen, Pete.
Support your local seamen.
Countless seamen.
I'm embarrassed. I should support
this. Yeah, you should be, you fucking asshole.
Pete's sitting there going, I'm the one that gets in trouble for this shit. What the hell is going
what?
On?
What? I'm using proper grammatic terms right now. God bless the seamen.
There we go.
We wouldn't be here without them.
We would not. So it's funny, like, watching this, and I know the title we talked about during Deep Star 6. It came out the same year as Humanoids from the Deep or Seed People. I don't know, a million different movies that deal with oceans and monsters. And I noticed that the guy that directed this was the guy that directed Rambo 2. And I went, oh, hell yeah. And then I saw that RoboCop was in it. I went, oh, hell yeah. Then I saw that Trotman was in it. It was like, oh, all right. Then I found out one half of the Wet Bandits was in it. And then Ernie Hudson. It just kept going. Meg Foster and her big, beautiful eyes.
Yeah.
Even though they're hidden behind a CRT.
They still shine. They still shine.
So yeah, this was my first watch. I'll leave a little bit on the table right now, but I will say I did like this more than Deep Star 6. I truly did. So,
all right.
Okay.
Yes. So Charlie, what about yourself, sir?
Obviously this was not long after Deep Star 6 for me, because as we talked about in that one, that was my very first R-rated creature feature. Dad scared the shit out of me at the end of it because I didn't know the rules of creature features. I knew the rules for this movie.
Yeah.
So I was prepared. But also I realized that there is a ton of underwater monster movies, and they all came out in 1989. The Evil Below, Lords of the Deep, The Rift, Endless Descent, and The Abyss. They always throw The Abyss in there. I know it came out the same year, but it is not an underwater monster movie.
It's deep sea aliens,
underwater alien.
Yeah, underwater sci-fi is.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
It's a great
movie. Oh yeah, just not the same level.
It's not a creature feature.
One of these days I'll watch it. One of these days.
It's beautiful. Get the highest resolution you can on it. It's gorgeous.
Well, the just newest got a 4K.
Oh, just got 4K.
By Mr. Jim Cameron himself.
Yep. So, so I watched this. I watched everything that was creature related. And this one, it's going to be a little controversial for myself. Yes, this is the better movie of this between Deep Star 6. Mm. But I love Deep Star 6 more because that was my first foray into.
That's totally fair. Yeah. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
This is the superior movie. Albeit I've seen this movie before and it wasn't underwater, so we'll get into that a little bit.
This felt like the studio went, we'll throw it.
No idea what they were trying to mimic at all.
not one clue.
Or blatantly rip off.
Or another movie as well.
Yeah, there's two. They blended a little bit there. So that's me. Sure.
Steve, what was your first time experiencing Leviathan?
Honestly, I think the first time was probably, I think it was around like 2018 or something like that. So it really wasn't that long ago. And one of my best friends, Benji Irwin, he's a cinematographer in Toronto. He recommended the movie to me because he's an absolute fan of it. And so I decided to check it out. And I think that was the first time I saw it. And I was like, oh, fuck yeah, I can get behind this shit. And he's recommended me a few good movies too, like what was the one from 79? Up from the Depths, another giant shark movie.
Yep, Up from the Depths, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that was my first foray into it. And I mean, I've always been a fan of aquatic horror, obviously.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
No.
Yeah. I didn't even realize like how much of a fan I have been, because I was looking through my old Goosebumps books. And the first one I ever had was number 19, Deep Trouble, which literally has a hammerhead shark on the cover of it. And then I'm thinking back to all the movies I used to watch and like TV shows like Street Sharks. And I'm like, holy fuck, man, I've actually been a fan of this stuff for a long time.
Street Sharks are coming back this summer.
Yeah.
They're doing a new lineup of the figures.
The figures, or are they going to come back with a cartoon? Because
just the figures.
Just the figures. Cartoon, yeah. Right? Big Bad Toy
Story. The last I heard, Ryan Reynolds was trying to get it rebooted along with like Biker Mice from Mars, which,
oh my god, yes,
fucking classic. But yeah
we'll take it.
I mean G.I. Joe is about to cross over Transformers, and it's like,
oh,
cool.
For fuck's sake,
we'll make two bad movies in one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, get them both out of the way. It saves them money, really.
Right.
True.
Yeah.
Honestly,
a good tax write-off.
Yeah. I mean, if it was coming from Warner Brothers, they would just write it off as a tax write-off because they're like, yeah, no, nobody needs this. So
honestly, though, if they were to bring back Michael Bay, I'd be all on board.
No.
No, I would be on board so badly.
You're I mean, so I'm still going to watch it. I'm not going to pay to watch it, but I'll watch it.
I'll probably pay. I know me. I'm like, all right, opening weekend. Here we are.
Buying the popcorn bucket and everything else.
I'll be buying it. Yeah.
He always goes with his Dune popcorn bucket. No one knows why.
And then I'm waiting to get
the wrong theater. They never have the popcorn buckets in the theaters I go to.
Well, you go opening night? Yeah.
I got to go opening night. I went to, I didn't go to opening night for Godzilla vs. Kong.
Well, that bucket you should have been able to get because
that bucket sucked. It was boring. It was I saw that and went, no way. I want that Transformer bucket where I got to reach an Optimus Prime's like tailpipe.
This trailer, not the tailpipe. Stop it.
You don't know that in this new one.
This new one. All right, Captain Drive.
All right, so Charlie, this is the final pick of the, you know, Wheel of Chaos. Why did this one go onto your wheel? Was it just to make me mad?
Yeah.
I didn't put that on any of mine, all right? I was like, Charlie and Pete will love this. Charlie and Pete will love this. Charlie and Pete will love this. And then I only got one pick, so
The wheel has decided. I don't know. My other two horror ones you probably would have complained about just as much. But I took it as
they all took place in the sea.
No, they didn't.
Two-thirds of them did.
No.
don't tell us. Hold on to those for next
I know.
Year.
It's like,
yeah,
I
hold on to them.
So badly want to tell you guys my other two picks because we know everything else. Well, it's like my action ones, you know, I explained why I went with those, you know, and you're partly to blame for Highlander 2. So, you know, that's a shared issue.
Really.
Some of the blame for that one.
But no. I really was like sitting there thinking like, I need a third horror movie. I need a third. What do I pick? And I was like, this is my chance. I'd like, and if I get it, I get it. I don't, I'll figure out another way to put it on there, but I put Leviathan, but I was also like, I'm going to break him and I'm going to make him actually enjoy one of these. So I'm going to throw Leviathan on there because to me, this is the best of the bunch that all came out at that point. So yeah, well, that's why I put it on here.
The two that I've seen, it's definitely the better of the bunch that all came out this year. Oh, I do feel like this is the one that of whatever studios were throwing money around. This is probably the one whatever studio put this out had the most faith in because it is a stacked cast. You have Stan Winston doing the creature effects.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
this has all the ingredients at the tail end of 1989 to be like a banger. Now, I'm stuck on how I feel with it, and I don't want to be the Debbie Downer. I'd rather hear you guys gloat about it. But there's a lot of good here, though. Like, it's right out the gate is engaging. Like, you got the guy that is going to implode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get the Jesus starts having his suit malfunction. So this does, in Nate's defense, there is a lot that happens throughout this movie. They keep you on the edge of your seat. It's not like we're underwater. Oh no, we set off.
It's always moving.
Oh yeah. There's the pacing of this movie is phenomenal.
Where's Doc at? So you're like, all right, there's a doctor here who's like not on his job.
Yeah, his
duties.
Post,
yeah.
Who has a backstory apparently. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that we find out that he killed people with a experimental drug and the only job he could get was for a mining company under the water. You know, so he's not technically in his element. He's just there collecting
the
check.
Sadly,
fleshed out pretty well.
They were, I mean, like everyone felt
the one,
like a
was
part of the crew.
Astronaut. You had Peter Weller, who just was an old curmudgeon.
Well, he was a geologist. They stuck him down there because they're mining. So, like, we have everything we need to know. It's a company that's found silver under the ocean. And so he's there to go, yep, that's silver, or nope, that's fish poop.
Well, that's because the Whalen Corporation needed to make sure they had their funds.
Oh, is that the name of the company? The
Whalen. That's who Meg Foster, I think, worked for.
That's
it might have been the Whalen.
Yeah, it's the offshoot from Whalen and Yutani. Maybe it was like an early merger of theirs. But no, they do without like, this is what this guy does, or this guy is the fuck. Although Sixpack, we figure out that he's pretty much the fuck up of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the dirt bag.
He's the guy where I'm like, how did you get the job here? Like, wouldn't it have made more sense just to hire a bunch of oil drillers and send them underneath the sea to drill?
No, they got sent on an asteroid.
Oh, that was the problem. They were on another side quest.
Yeah. We're on two opposite sides of the spectrum. Well, I'll say I worked construction for a long time. I've worked with many a six pack. Like I'm just telling you flat out.
Oh, so yeah. Just like bullshit their way.
That's your blue collar dude.
I think he was actually good at his job. Didn't they mention that he's the only reason we put up with him is because he's really good at his job.
Yeah. Well, he was.
Yeah.
You're a miner, you know, not minor, but a miner, you know, so that's
right,
how.
Right.
Yes. A seaman miner.
ER. guys. It's with not the OR.
Nate.
Guys, we can't stress this enough.
For the love of God.
But like the opening scenes, and this is a disservice to Pete and I, when we watched Deep Star 6, we didn't get to watch the HD version because it wasn't available.
Yeah.
And then seeing this on HBO is how I watched it. I mean, it's a glorious remaster. And the set design of when they are underneath with these giant suits all look fantastic.
And it's so well done. It's called Dry for Wet. None of that was underwater except for a few scenes.
I figured all that was just a blue light.
When they're walking, like when they come up onto the Leviathan, which is the ship, not the monster, they're walking. They had said that Stan Winston had figured out how to put air nozzles in the feet. So when they would step, it would poof the dust that they had all over the stage.
And that's so cool.
It would kind of flow. Now, that was ingenious. And then he goes, we also wanted to make it look like there was stuff in the water because, you know, ocean water's not clear. Yeah. So we dumped feathers and chicken didn't work. It was chicken feathers and they're like, it didn't work. And so we had to scrap that. You imagine the poor guy that was going, we're not going with the chicken feathers now. He has to go pick up all of the chicken feathers.
He's like, I just got done plucking all the chickens. Yeah.
That was the intern's job that day.
Yeah, that's poor PA.
That's all right. That PA was known as other Cosmotos, and he went on to make Mandy. So it's all right.
Yep. And with Cosmotos is a director that most of the time doesn't give a shit. Like this guy, he has the card that says he's a director, but he's got the chair
that they put the white print on, and they went, "Don't worry, little guy, you're the director." And he went, "Cool, I'm gonna go get coffee." RoboCop, go do stuff.
So the person that's responsible for a lot of the really cool like action sequences and like 95% of the creature was Stan Winston. Winston was the assistant associate director. And they actually, like, normally you don't travel with them. Like, there was even a small group from Stan Winston's studio that went with them overseas to do the, wherever they were filming.
What a great job.
In Europe. So a lot of this was soundstage. The other part was that. But Stan Winston, actually, this is the first time he got to actually sit in a director's chair.
Well, this would have been actually the year after Pumpkinhead came out. So it makes sense. His feet would have gotten a little wet.
A little wet chair.
I am on fire this evening. I am submerged, one could say.
I think you're all wet.
I'm soaking over here.
Yeah, he should be. You're always soaking.
I'm always soaking.
RoboCop might be the ugliest guy on the planet, is one thing I learned from watching this movie.
I like me some Peter Weller, but I can only take so much of him because the way he mumbles all of his words, if he knows.
That's a really good Peter Weller.
What the hell did you just say?
Something about on report and a day off. I'm not 100% sure.
Oh, that was the other thing. They were 3 days left from retirement. Like, they could have set this movie anywhere in the timeline of their 90-day mission, but no, we had to make sure it was 3 days left.
Well, that was part of the stress, not the stress, but the time. They had a tick. They had a time clock going,
and they had what, 25 more tons to mine.
Right. So
yeah. So they had a quota.
Quota. The guy was losing oxygen. They do this a lot throughout the movie. They put a lot of pressure on the cast and the audience to really move. And Steve said it best. The pacing
it's good pacing. It keeps it rolling. And like it is the lingo, I guess, where they're talking about the contract, where Peter Weller's talking about, hey, like, if we pull this, then, you know, we can have a day off. And they're all like, well, on contract line section B37,
yeah,
in case we can't do that. He's like, yeah, but like, what if we did? It doesn't seem like it bothered anyone. Like, there wasn't a moment in where like people are just like, I am so sleepy. Like, they were like, all right, we can just
like,
keep
you
on rolling.
Son of a bitch, I'm in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. And I don't know. It's like that apparently was a shtick or something, because they did that a lot in Deep Star 6, where they're like citing, you know, the book, you know, like, no, we're only allowed to do X, Y, and Z. You know, we have stipulations. This one does it too. It's like, well, and then you find out that if they don't hit their tonnage, even by one or a few pounds, they get half pay for the entire.
That's which
job
that would make me want to like throw hands with everyone.
Oh yeah.
If I only got paid. Yeah.
Yeah, fuck it. Send me to jail. At least I get 3 square meals and I don't have to worry about your bullshit anymore.
Yeah. I can go see the sun. I don't have to worry about being however far underneath we are.
Yeah.
I would think it's more realistic much like in outer space, because that's the same idea. You do have to do things by the book. Or you can't just throw caution to the wind when you're so isolated like that and in an environment where if you step outside, you're dead.
So, yeah, I get there's
a lot of sense that they were trying very hard to follow the book.
Structure to it and everything. And then we get a guy that can fix the ship by sticking a piece of bubble gum on it.
Don't worry about that.
Classic.
I do love that. He has a total MacGruber moment. And he calls it job security because he knows that piece of gum's going to fall off eventually. It's going to make the noise again.
Uh-huh.
And he gets paid to go fix it again. I was like, I work with guys like that. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Have you ever worked with guys that brought flamethrowers to the job that don't make any sense? Because I'm telling you right now, there was zero need for 2 flamethrowers on this aquatic mission.
You make
what if the water's coming in really fast and they need to evaporate it very quickly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
how else were they supposed to toast marshmallows under the sea, Nate? Come on.
Under the sea.
Under the sea.
Wait, no, don't. Disney, stop. No.
Well, we just got sued. Thanks, everybody. See you later.
Watch our last episode. Sorry about that.
SWAT's at the door.
Oh, Bob Iger.
Come here, you little son of a bitch. Don't you sing my songs? I got tauntauns coming out of my ass. Oh, this is how many times we can pop Nate, because he realized now he has to lead the show about an underwater movie. Yeah.
Particularly careful, right?
Particularly give him the option to opt out, but he did not take it.
Nope,
so
I am a trooper. I will carry on.
All on you.
But all right, this movie rips off 2 films big time. Yeah. Alien and The Thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's clear as hell that they watched The Thing and went, we need flamethrowers in our movie. And it's like,
yep.
You really don't. Like, the axe looks cool. The hand saws, all that.
Yeah.
Very Evil Dead moment.
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly, Steve. That moment where they're showing all of the weapons, they do that, like, it pops into frame and it close ups.
Quick cut
like,
of it.
That is like Sam Raimi all over this for some reason. I was like, that is glorious. I love it. But yeah, somebody watched that. Somebody watched The Thing. It's the aquatic version of The Thing. Two ships crashed. We know about the one in Antarctica. The other one crashed under the sea. You know, so.
Oh, those wacky Russians, though.
Downward weather.
Well, like, it sets it up with it being a Russian ship, having no documentation of it. We're talking 1989, so we're still in the grips of the Cold War, even as it's coming to an end. Like, I get the PowerPoints that it's playing at. I still think it's a little weird that the way that the creature, I guess, transfers is through the vodka.
Well, it wasn't the creature. So it's not an alien, and it's not necessarily
an actual fungus, right? Like, I don't know how you describe
it's
it.
It's a mutation. It's an experiment. Yeah. Like, it's a genetic, experiment.
Yeah, the Russians were trying to build, to create a Homo sapien.
Well, they were trying to create an army of underwater seamen monsters.
Yeah, underwater seamen. Sea monkeys, if you will, if you remember that television show in the 90s that was nightmare fuel.
Leave it to the sea Russians.
Seamen.
But that's how the scientists that created it got it into the crew. The ship was an experiment. Not that they were doing it on the ship. The ship itself was the experiment.
Yeah, so, because they had mentioned if they put in the vodka, they'll drink it unbeknownst to them because they're wacky Russians. And just like the Americans, they would have their black coffee with it. So
we can't stay away from our vodka. You know us.
In Soviet Russia, semen become you.
I was waiting for the joke to come. I'm glad Nate took the opening and ran.
The semen came. You are happy now.
I'll have you know we get zero downloads from Russia, or at least that's what Putin wants us to think.
Yeah. There's a lot of unknowns. We see you guys, and we're here for you.
Yeah. Stay strong.
Stay strong. But yeah, so... That's why it's in the vodka and why only Sixpack and Bowen get the disease first. So it starts mutating their DNA and then it just starts replicating. And then it's pretty much if it attacks you and breaks the skin like it does to, you know, well, it pretty much eats the Jesus and it's a leg. That's the bitch way to go. He got eaten by a leg.
Cool,
it was awesome how it turned into like a leech lamprey looking thing.
But also, like, you dumbasses, like, all right. I love that the American way is let's just flush it. And they're like, those are people, damn it. They're alive. They're people. And then they're all realize it's a monster and go, flush it. Like, that is our answer is like, we will just get rid of it and we'll let it be someone else's problem.
Exactly. See, that's when they should have used
seems
the flame
to know how
floors.
To do these. Yes. And instead, somehow these assholes don't even realize that they chopped off a leg and that it floated like right by them.
Yeah.
Just like there was a head that grew spider legs and walked past everyone in another movie that they caught on fire and burnt something. No relation whatsoever between this. But I love how you did that, Nate, because this is the most American way of thinking. We have a problem. Let's get rid of it. But wait, we need to save whoever is alive in the body bags, even though we know there's some kind of weird shit going on. And then we go, we made a mistake. Immediately get rid of it. I'm like, that's America right there.
I just love you. It's like, what do you mean flush it? These were people. How dare you? And then that same guy's like, flush it for the love of God.
And I think oddly enough, the asshole doctor ends up being the smartest or at least logical character.
On purpose.
He's
like, this isn't going to get to the surface. I'm going to leave it down here and it'll never find its way up.
It does.
Pretty much. But it was one of those things that, you know, watching this movie again last night, I was going, they really try to set him up like Ash from the Alien movie where there's something devious.
I was waiting for someone to be a robot, honestly. When he and when the doc wasn't at his station, I went, he's definitely a robot. He was charging his batteries or something.
robot. Well, I leaned more towards the first few times I watched this was he was a company plant. Like, that's if something goes wrong, that's what it, but in reality, he's the hero in the movie, but he gets no recognition for that whatsoever. Like, you know, he lets all the life things go, and you're like, well, why'd you do that? That's mean. No, he's saving the rest of our dumbasses.
Yeah.
You know, but it's kind of weird how they shot that, and I think they just... We kind of need that one guy that people are against. We need that friction right there.
Yeah, like the
to lean into that. He starts typing a letter to, or an email, I guess.
Yeah.
To Weyland Utani, not really, but
we'll call him.
That was Weyland.
I'm totally down with that. He starts drafting an email, and then he lets the air. What do you call them? Bubbles or what? The air bubbles go. The
pods, air pods, or something like that. Yeah, life pods.
So you think, oh God, he is a plant. He's sent them a message saying, okay, you can come pick up the alien now or the monster now.
But yeah. Instead, until you like really look at it, it's him saying.
Then they show the entire message again saying, hey, I'm just basically saving the world. Don't come rescue us. Yada, yada. Now, did Meg Foster, did the company or whatever, Meg Foster, did I say that right?
Yeah, Meg Foster.
Yep.
Okay, yeah. I don't know. I had a brain fart there.
No, you're fine.
Was the company? Did the company know what was going on, or did they get that message from the doctor and they went, "Oh shit, they do need to be quarantined. We are not sending any help."
That's what I got out of it.
So what it turned into, again, watched this several times. The company only cares about the bottom line money, the stock price, everything. They have no idea about a monster. When Peter Weller first tells them about Six-Pack dying and everything, that's when, you know, Meg Foster's kind of like, oh, well.
Her attitude changed, yeah.
Yeah, if you want to come out early, you can, but there's complications with the contract. So you start realizing she's protecting the company's interests. And, you know, if everyone dies, they'll take a small hit. But they're not going to be like, oh shit, we released something.
Their payload is still down there too.
They can still go get the payload. That. They can still go get the underwater facility still there. So it's only about money when it comes to the company at the end of the movie. This isn't them wanting to build a monster for the government. You know, they have no idea. Like, she doesn't have any clue about this being a sea creature hell bent on killing everyone. It's only about saving. That's why the one girl, she goes, well, I know how we can find out what's going on. And she checks her stocks, and they had already released the statement that everyone was dead.
Yeah.
In the facility.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fun fact, if you don't know, if she looks kind of familiar, but you can't place her, she was the doctor in the original Flash television show. She was the girl.
Yeah. I have not watched that since I was a kid.
Oh, that was it.
She appeared in the new Flash TV show for an episode or two as well.
Yeah, she popped up, but so that's she has one of those like, why is she so familiar? And I was like, she's the chick from the Flash. So, but yeah, so there's company, corporate, only wants money, doesn't care about the human life involved. That's why they're like, well, there's a hurricane, we can't come get you. And Ernie Hudson looks up, you know, when he pops up out of the water and goes, where's the damn hurricane?
Yeah.
There's no hurricane. They were just waiting them out till they died, basically.
Yeah. Because they knew it was going to be inevitable at that point. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think the monster in this looks awesome. When Six Pack and Homegirl get morphed into one another, it's gross. I mean, it's definitely influenced by Rob Bottin in The Thing, but I think it kind of stands on its own. And I think the monster, how it, like, the human faces are part of its body, like it's absorbing people, but it's got this like anglerfish jawline.
Yeah, like, it's got that real like deep sea crew. They said they like had drawings of a ton of like actual like deep sea specimens that have been found, you know, like the eels, the anglerfish and stuff like that. And they just started mixing them as they went until they landed on this one. But the adding the faces is always just this little extra, like
creepy. Oh. Yeah.
It's what the thing was actually kind of missing, because a lot of times it was already a human, then it would transform and the head would be doing something. But this was just like whenever the one dude's like, I just saw Doc, and you see Doc's face like in the
shadow.
That
was so good.
That whole shot. And they do it twice, because you're like, wait, did I see what I saw? And then they show it again and you're like, he's kind of basket Casey just a little bit right there, but it still works really well for me.
I like what's different about this monster too, is like this one actually has a purpose. Like the thing, I'm not complaining about the thing, but just to differentiate, is like this one was created to like make people who could live under the water and whatnot. Like, so this was like very purposeful and not just, but I guess sort of an accident, because it's like, well, it's not quite what we wanted, but
yeah. I mean, it's that episode of King of the Hill where the army kept injecting Bill with medicine to turn him into a walrus. That way he could be the ultimate combatant.
Yeah.
just a little different.
Wow.
But, yeah, I mean, basically.
That was good. I don't know that one.
Yeah.
Went over my head. I don't know that one.
Oh, you got to watch King of the Hill, Pete.
Yeah, come on, Pete.
Have to.
It's great. Yeah. It's amazing.
It's not required so watching.
That is like, it is still relevant from today. Like, it's amazing. The writing does not get old.
It doesn't. But yeah.
Hey, you know what? It's not even a dated reference, because King of the Hill just had a cameo on SNL.
Oh, shit, they did, didn't
they?
Oh,
it's getting rebooted, too, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take it.
Sadly, Dale passed away.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, the voice of Dale. Oh, well. What do you do?
Well, do we want to go to commercial real quick and then come back? And then, you know, now I can start throwing haymakers at the problems I have with this movie.
Oh, he's been holding back? Oh, okay. Well, I guess.
Nah, I don't want to do that. Maybe.
He's
totally going to do that.
You're watching the USA Network.
Sharks of the corn? Virus shark? Cocaine shark? Sharktopus? Yeah, those are all real movies. Join me, Steve Coates, as each week I take a comedic look at the bizarre world of sharksploitation cinema on Bucket of Chum, the Shark Movie Podcast.
Hi, everybody. I'm Josh.
And I'm Brett.
If you're looking for a different horror podcast, one that stands out from the rest...
Well, don't look here.
Absolutely not. Every week, we talk about our favorite horror movies and some of our favorite aspects of those horror movies.
So that's something that interests you? Check us out.
The only thing that sets us apart is that it's us. So if you like the sound of our voices...
Check us out at the Evil Desk Podcast.
Wherever it is that you find podcasts.
Is this thing on? Oh, hey. I'm Jeff.
And I'm Kev. We're the hosts of Sons and Shadows, a podcast of two regular guys talking about our favorite canceled TV shows and movies.
We're all about having a good time, remembering these shows, and exploding your mind.
Come over and check out Sons and Shadows on all podcatchers or directly at sonsandshadows.com.
Because we're...
filthy and fine.
Just when you thought you were safe, the terror continues with another chilly tale tonight on USA Network's Saturday Nightmares.
All right. So, obviously, this monster is underutilized too at the same time, in my opinion, because what? We've got seven people on this crew?
Eight.
Oh, okay. Almost half of them make it up to the seed level. And one of my problems was, how the hell are they going to kill off Ernie Hudson like that and give the man absolutely zero respect? What is with the 80s just shitting all over Ernie Hudson?
Yeah, I will agree with that. I'll give you that one 100%. I was pretty pissed off at like right at the very end. Like, come on,
you
really?
And you still killed him for
crazy. Yeah. And, like, you kill him in such a way that even I was like, did he live or did he die? You know, because like it gets really choppy real quickly. It's like, whoa, what's going on?
I actually wonder if they edited it. Like, he survived and they're like, ah, nah, let's let just, you know, Peter Weller.
That
and Walker
could
Faithful.
Be it. That could honestly. Be it. Yeah.
That because it looks sense. Like he just gets like kind of pushed down. And then you're like, wait, did he drown? Like, he didn't get eaten. He wasn't bitten half. Like, if you're going to, that's why I feel like he was supposed to live, because there should have been a like nice big final like kill, you know, like tearing him apart or something, or give him the flare / bomb and let him like grab hold of the creature and blow it up.
Yeah.
You're 100% right. Yeah. You are 100% right, Nate. That is one of my only real complaints about this movie is
like that one. When is her name Barb? She was the one that died second that morphed into Six Pack.
Bowen.
Like Bowen. So when her hair is like falling out, that could have been an opportunity in my head. It was like, oh, like we could get some really great body horror of just seeing a person kind of melt.
No, I agree.
Because of seeing what happened to Daniel Stern's like skin, how it got real pussy. And then like it was like it blew everyone's mind. Like he died in 8 hours. Like
that
a skin infection killed him that quickly.
That shot of his arm when the camera goes in on it, where it's like split open and it's like bubbling and shit. Like that is the body horror that they could have really went
and
wild
instead
with
of her, Noah. They just had her hair fall out and
commit suicide.
It.
And that
before she could.
I kind of got that a little bit, but it would have been maybe we don't see the full transformation, but like when they open up the shower, have like fucking fins or something off of her back.
Have her
like
start.
She should have been further along. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
an arm is a tentacle at that point or something.
Because I don't think anyone was going, we need less creature, because it's one of the things this movie really kind of does is while it's not the full creature, we get really cool things that progress a little more
and
a
more. And like DeJesus being killed, like, I mean, he's basically being impaled by that leech leg.
Yeah, it's like reverse face hugger. It's going after his stomach instead of his face. Yeah.
Yeah.
And as it's growing, like, you know, it's got its tentacles that are taking over the way that Doc dies as well. And I think that was just my thought process. I was like, God, I kind of just want the creature to be the one really biting someone's head off, I guess. Like, it has that jawline. I want to see it go into flesh and tear flesh. Like,
I think there's definitely
some unused potential with the creature and some of the kills. And even when Daniel Stern dies, like, we barely see anything. Like, he gets a skin sample taken off. And then we just see a flat line, and it's like, he's dead now. And it's like, oh, okay.
Well, I think really just because of that one, that's like the first. So in their mind, that's the start of the suspense as it goes, like, oh, what is going on? This is still like
cool
a mystery throughout
the
movie.
Where they put the sheet over him, and then it moves after everyone leaves. And that is
that
the
was
most
effective.
That
it
was
also
cool.
Has the most flimsy door ever that is holding him in that bay.
Oh, yeah. The creature would have gone through it.
Jesus back, you mean?
No, holding Six Pack back, where he's in that infirmary. Okay.
Yeah.
But like, that whole scene with Ernie talking to Six Pack because he doesn't know he's dead. And then you're like, okay, it's kind of weird. But then you see that leg move and Ernie's like, oh, I didn't know you were asleep. Walks out. And then, but we're all like, wait, this motherfucker was dead.
Yeah.
And then it starts moving anymore. It is the simplest of simple shots. Effective as hell. Like straight up. I actually really enjoy that whole segment. It reminds me more like of Aliens when they lock Ripley and Newt in the room with the one guy that was infected.
Oh, sure.
With
yeah.
The thing, and they let the face hugger out, and it's what's his face is like waiting for him to get taken, you know, by the alien. It kind of had those vibes to it, which this is after Aliens too.
Yeah,
you know,
so
there's
true.
Two alien movies they could have. There's flamethrowers for you, Nate. There's, in yeah. Aliens, They used flamethrowers.
That made total sense. I was on board with that. The thing, it made sense. I think that's the hard problem is like with how much I love the thing and seen it so many times that like that paranoia that is in that movie that this movie just kind of doesn't have because it, once the monster hits, it kind of just goes super quickly. And that, like, I don't know if that's a pacing issue, but it's like, whoa, like maybe we should slow our roll down a little bit because I was on board with everything up until.
Yeah, this is a monster movie, though, and the thing is way more psychological than this one is because the thing takes on the appearance of friends and co-workers, whereas this, there's just a monster running around, much like we've been saying the whole time. This is Alien. This is an alien creature running around the spaceship, just like the first Alien.
Yeah, the thing is always about who's infected. We know who's infected.
Right.
They pull a little bit where they're doing the test where he's like checking for skin conditions and you're harkened back to the blood test.
You definitely are with like the skin coming off. Yeah. Let's take a look at this.
But it's one of those things where I think they did really well with skirting it though too, because John Carpenter's not afraid to sue people. And he's won quite a few times. This got by. This wasn't anything that he went, yeah, they ripped me off. It was more like, we know what you did. It's not quite an homage, but we like elements. Let's put it underwater and change it up just enough where we're not, you know, suable.
And I mean, really, what filmmaker doesn't do that? Like, all of Tarantino's work is just ripoffs of other
shots from other movies.
Yeah, but he does it really well and very effectively, which is what I think this movie did. They took the things that they liked from these other movies and they kind of made it their own, and I think pretty effectively for the most part. Like, yeah, there's definitely could have utilized the creature a lot more. That would have been nice. And I feel like if they wanted to build up the tension a little bit more, this movie feels too bright. If they're trying to build up this like scary atmosphere, it just feels like, I don't know. It doesn't quite feel like I'm deep underwater. It feels more like I'm just in like a mining facility on Earth, like in just a regular mining facility, not deep underwater.
I think that's a fair point because like Alien is super claustrophobic.
Yeah.
Like I hate just how
tight you're on a ship
watching Alien.
Yeah,
where this it does kind of feel like you can, you know, run around.
Well, she literally goes for a run.
She's running.
She's like, I need to de-stress, and then fucking goes for like a run around like she's on a track, and like she's got plenty of room to do that.
It's one of the things I should have looked into it, but I didn't. But now that you bring it up, I wish I had. But I was thinking, like, how deep are they? Like, I know in the trailer it says they're 5 miles deep, because Deep Star 6 makes
it
seem like...
It says on the screen at one point.
Does it really?
Mm-hmm. I think it says like 6,000 or 16,000 feet or something.
Well, that's close. That's about 5 miles.
Like,
yeah.
It's like twice as deep as where I ski in Colorado. It's about 3,600 feet or so.
Deep Star 6 felt deeper. You know, like they really push, like they breeze through decompression in this movie. Like it's an afterthought.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
It was a bit dodgy.
I feel like they added that little flashy light going, oh shit, we need to tell people they're decompressing as they're going up.
Yeah.
You know, because they really drive it home in Deep Star 6 about decompression, you know, and then they show us an amazing decompression failure. But that it's like even their escape pods that they're supposed to take launch right up out of the top of this thing. And it's like, do they decelerate? Do they like slow, because I know you're supposed to slow down every so often to expel the nitrogen in your blood.
That's I think you're supposed to like actually like pause, like
you're supposed
down
to
and
stop.
Actually like stop for a second, and then if you're going that deep. But I mean, yeah, they just fucking rocket right up to the surface.
I mean,
they're
up in a heartbeat. Yeah. They got like their little parachute that goes up.
Why do they get out of them? Like, I ride that bitch all the way up to the surface. I want something to hold on to when I get up there.
Well, Willie, she like basically strips down to being naked where everyone else is like, we're still in our clothes. Like, you could have, you don't have to be in your undies to be in this. Like,
no,
we're not arguing it, but like,
Nate. They had to Sigourney Weaver her because what did Sigourney Weaver do in Alien?
That's true. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But, I'll just say that, you know, Willie has a little bit more courage to her than one Sigourney Weaver, who is you ever seen a 2x4?
Oh, Jesus, dude. No, wow. You can't say that about horror icon Sigourney Weaver, damn it. Sir.
All I'm saying is, if you, there was a lineup and there was Sigourney Weaver,
get out, Nate.
5 2x4s.
You're fired.
You might get them mixed up as to who did the crime.
Sir, fired, sir. Goodbye.
Say what
See,
you will.
Now Disney's coming down to the door because they own Alien now, so now they're coming for you.
Sir, say what you will about monster movies, but leave Sigourney Weaver out of it, sir. That is wrong. Are you Steven from Spoils of Horror?
No, I'm just saying we have all seen the attire that was worn in Alien.
I did feel a little bad for Pete when he was messaging us while he was watching this, and he goes, not one shower scene or boob shot in this movie. As much as they talk about boobs.
As much as they show showers.
Well, you see a little bit of nipple in the one shower scene, yeah. But she's like crying, so it's like very uncomfortable. So
that doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, I don't mean either. Yeah, the hot take, guys. The better for Pete. Crying girls in showers don't do it for us. That's our hot take.
That's a right. Boner killer for sure.
Yeah. That's totally not. I mean, she calls out Six Pack directly, though, you know, because he's like staring at her and he goes, no, I said something else. She goes, oh, I thought you liked my boobs. He's like, yeah.
I don't know where else to go with this.
I try to just give him rope and let him know.
I guess. I got nothing. Like, you know, the one guy that gets scratched, like,
yeah.
And then, like, does his hand turn? I don't remember, you know? Like,
you remember the time where the guy did that thing with the stuff?
Yeah, I remember
Very
the guy.
Cool.
Oh, like, the guy who tries to attack the doctor, and it looks like his hand is turning into, like, the
leech
or whatever.
Steve, help me out here.
Yeah. Well, you're getting a little bit of both. Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen that more spread throughout the movie. And I mean, they kind of teased us a bit with like that spider looking thing.
I thought the spider thing was going to be like, cause it bites, you know, the wet bandit. And then he's like, look at my fucking foot. Blah, blah, blah. And I was just like,
biting, it's dead. How did it bite him?
All I know is I hated it. I hated it so much. Don't know if it's real or not. Don't want to look up the answer, because if that thing's real, that means it lives on Earth with us. Not a fan of that. So
it does, Nate. I was like, going to tell you now, there are
shut
underwater
up. I
spiders.
Like to live in a world that,
no,
you know.
No, after your Sigourney Weaver shit, those things exist. Just like those tube worm things that they're walking through. But no, that thing lives underwater. So as soon as they took it out of water, it was dead. But Six Pack shoved it into that suit so he knew she would find it.
Well,
and
thought
it kind of like pops out because it's crammed in there.
Yeah, God, I hate it.
And then she shoves it under his pillow when he goes, you know, I'm going to my bunk. And, you know, sticks his hand underneath. Yeah. His hand under there and he pulls it out. And then he does crush his toe.
Pulls out the spider. Like, please be specific.
I'm wondering if he accidentally hit his toe and they just went with it, because that was kind of chaotic the way he got out of
that
bunk.
I think he hit it on the chair because he runs into the chair pretty quickly. So I think that's what they were trying to insinuate, because I was confused about that at first too. I was like, wait, what about his fucking foot? What is he talking about?
I think
he just stubbed his fucking toe and he's mad about it.
I would be too. Have you stubbed your toe? It hurts
a lot. Oh, it does hurt. But he's acting like his fucking leg has to be amputated because she did this prank. And I'm like, but you did the prank first.
I was under the impression, it was like, oh, that bit him. Now he's going to turn into the Leviathan, which turns out is also not the name of the monster. It's just a Russian ship.
The Russian ship. So I got to ask now, because this doesn't really fit in any other segments. So I feel like we should do it here. How do you... Let's say, I don't want to say explain. How do you interpret the end of this movie with the creature coming back up?
That is interesting, because we see the creature's head get exploded under sea.
Yep.
Which was a great effect.
Yeah, it was really cool. They were talking about how it can regenerate also. So
kind of, but they blow up the ship the facility, so it implodes and explodes. Uh-huh. So anything in there would take a little bit more time. But the one thing everyone forgets about is they let one of these motherfuckers out into the water earlier in the movie.
They did.
Oh yeah.
That's true.
Is
too.
A second creature in the movie.
It was still in the zipper bag though. Can it work?
It was ripping its way out before they even got it in the thing, because that's when they see Six-Pack's face and everything through the body bag, and they start throwing it in there, and it's like scratching at everyone, and they throw it out in the water. Well, it grew from a leg in the facility. There's a whole ass creature still outside.
I didn't think about that.
That's why there's a creature at the end, because you're like, man, I watch, and it's a gruesome kill on that creature. I love that one. It crushes its head in that elevator.
The blood
piece.
That just splatters all over on RoboCop's face. Yeah. Like, he's wearing the mask, but I also still like that the next shot, all the blood is completely cleaned off.
He's underwater, though.
He's underwater.
All right. That's fair.
He's wiping it off.
Nate's trying to poke holes. Yeah, it's got a little windshield wiper, Nate. Did you not see it? It is the slowest one ever. Oh, where's my windshield washer fluid? Oh, yeah, I'm under the water. That's what it is. It's SpongeBob logic. You know, it's totally fine. But no, there's a second creature in this. And then the greatest ending of all endings that you want in every movie, except we always expect it to be the girl that does it. But in this one, Meg Foster comes walking out. Oh, so glad you're safe and alive. We didn't give up on you. And RoboCop knocks the fuck out of her.
Blocks her. Jesus Christ.
He punches her and keeps on walking. And then the credits literally roll. And it was just like, we end this on him punching his boss.
Yep. I love Meg Foster, and I don't condone hitting, but that was kind of funny. Look, RoboCop's kind of skinny anyway. You know, it was a fair fight, if I really had to say.
So, I mean, probably, yeah.
Yeah, I feel it was fair. Evil Lynn
I'd put like 50-50 odds on them in a ring together.
Yeah. Pre-RoboCop.
Even money,
and,
sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Definitely pre-RoboCop. Now, if it was RoboCop, then
RoboCop wins.
Meg Foster's going down.
RoboCop would have destroyed the alien. Nothing would have survived. It would have been good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think now's the time for us to get into things. What do you think, Nate?
Sure thing.
Yeah, I fully agree here.
He's like, please
help.
Please
save my ass.
Time for raining semen.
How did you get live footage from my shower?
It sounds so sticky.
Don't make me spit my shit on my laptop, goddammit. Don't say shit like that when I'm taking a drink.
And I was waiting.
Got me back hard on that one. Not too hard on this one. 8 crew member, 2 people survive, 6 people die. 1 in the most bitch-ass way, and we will all agree that Ernie Hudson went out in the most bitch-ass way in a movie. He deserved better.
Yes.
You hear me, Ernie? You deserve better.
And, like, he's the one who kind of explained that, like, his conspiracy theory about them, like, altering the genetics. Like, he's the one who actually knew what was going on. Like, he was one of the smarter fucking people in this movie, and they off him. Like,
he had the best working theory, at least.
He also didn't trust the corporation, because he was very suspicious about, really? Because they show him earlier checking the weather out, and then all of a sudden there's a hurricane that's like coming towards them. He's super dubious about all of that. But, you know, everything went down. They weren't able to check with all their systems. So I loved Ernie Hudson all the way through this movie.
He was great.
He dies in the worst way.
He is jacked, too.
He's jacked, too.
He is.
Yeah.
Like, I would not want to take a punch from Ernie Hudson.
Was he this jacked in Ghostbusters, or was he?
I think so, but I think just everything was always covered. You know,
I think the jumpsuit
and the proton packs.
We saw him in a wife beater, and boy, that was a treat.
There was another like movie that I'm sure you guys, Pete, I think you guys covered it one time. It's another one of those space adventure movies that was done in 3D, but Ernie Hudson's in it and he's pretty jacked.
Time Hunters? No, Space.
Space Hunter.
Hunter. Space Hunters. Yeah.
Space Hunters. Yeah. It's got really, really young girl from 16 Candles.
Yep. Redhead. Yep.
Yeah. The redhead. Molly Ringwald.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. So, yeah, he's pretty jacked in that one. So I feel like Ernie Hudson's jacked, but they always like hide him in either a jumpsuit or the cop outfit.
And he's
in
still
the Crow.
Fucking jacked at like, how old is he? Like 78 yeah, or some shit?
I just saw that recently.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, still, God damn, dude.
It was some sort of like promo for the new Ghostbusters. I was like, holy shit. Like,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Ernie Hudson looks good at like 78.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yep. That's all right. We should have got better, Ernie, but let's pick our other favorite ones that's not Ernie Hudson.
What do you think? Zombie kill of the week?
All right. You know what, Charlie? I'm going to have you go first. We're going to switch it up a bit.
Oh, me. Yeah. I'm going with DeJesus, man. That leech freaking creature coming out. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the time they really try to go with like a good jump scare, you know, like me and the first time you watch this and you kind of see something growing through the tubes and it morphs from a leg to this, but man, like, and they're having a good moment. Like Ernie Hudson, like throws the puzzle off the table and he comes back to apologize to DeJesus and they're going to just have this buddy moment of, you know, we're all tempers are high. And then he walks away to make popcorn and then he opens that thing up and then that leech looking thing attacks him and it goes straight for his stomach. It wraps around his arm, blood pouring out of his face. And he's just begging them to help him. Like it's pretty long drawn out death. And I think that's going to be my kill of the week on this one.
Nice.
No, it's fully solid. Pete, what about yourself?
I'll double down on that. It was so long and drawn out and you could just, he was suffering and you could see the look in Ernie's eyes. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how I can help. Here, let me run away and lock you in here.
Hey, which, any of us would do.
That was the right decision.
Yeah.
But you could just see they were both in so much pain at that time. Him, DeJesus physically, because this thing is chomping on his stomach. And Ernie just watching his friend die in front of him. Completely helpless. It was my favorite death, but it was also rough. It was rough to watch because you really felt for both of those actors.
I'm right there with you guys. I got nothing else to add to it. It was the one kill in this movie that I wanted throughout the entire movie. Is the
you
best want
up the ante from that each time you kill someone.
I don't know how you get better than that.
Jeez. So Steve
bites someone's head off. I agree with Nate. I think he should have bit someone's head off. Absolutely.
Would have been good.
Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah. Steve, what's yours?
Honestly, I got to fucking quadruple down on that. I mean, obviously it's no argument, right?
Does that happen very often?
Nope.
I mean, like you said, like it's drawn out, but not drawn out in like a bad way. Like some kills are, like, it's drawn out in a way that just makes you very uncomfortable and it's a little hard to watch. And I think that's why, some of the later kills aren't as great. I do like the chest burster, like, teaser scene that they did. And then, like, he's got the slit in his hand. Like, that one was okay, too.
That was really
but
cool,
the man. DeJesus one was just insane. Like, it was so good.
That's the one that kind of set the standard, because he's the first one to die after our first two. And it's just like, can we go from here at this point?
Our other two get infected and we get a cool body horror shot, but an actual kill.
Yeah.
And this guy is selling it. DeJesus, like, his body is like arched out in pain. He's got those like muscles in your neck that are
throwing things around
out. It's well done. It's really high up there for like a cinematic kill. Like in all reality, I didn't really hate
his character. I'm just used to watching movies where I hate the characters. Like, most of the shit that I watch, I'm like, I don't care that you died. I hope you die. And this one, I'm like, I like this guy. And then he dies. I'm like, now I'm kind of sad.
Because he's the guy he has the scare in the beginning. You're like, I don't really know anything about him yet. But, like, they get him. He survives. He's truly, like, panicked. And, you know, he lives through that. And to see him go out this way, it's like, oh, man, like, this guy just had a death wish the entire time.
This is one of those where when you look back at it, you're kind of like, I don't hate any character on here. I don't hate Doc.
I don't like Six Pack, but whatever.
But he's not a bad guy. He was just a scummy kind of guy. You know what I mean? He wasn't like hitting people or sexually assaulting the women, you know, crew members or anything like that. He was just a scummy kind of guy. But I never went, I want you to die. You know, it's like in Deep Star 6, you want the doctor that's against everyone that gets his chest exploded. You're kind of like, I'm okay with him dying. He's kind of been
jerk from RoboCop to die.
Miguel Ferreira, no.
I always want him to die.
But yeah, this one gave you, this is where they kind of pulled a little bit from Alien, because in Alien, you don't want anyone to die in that movie.
No, you like them all.
You don't really want anyone to die in The Thing. Like,
they're working class heroes in The Thing. Dude.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just regular ass dudes.
Yeah. They're doing their job and they just got thrown into this. So I think that's a really key element. There's a reason why this movie stands above all the other ones that came out. Again, not talking about The Abyss. That's not fair to put it up against, but against all the other creature features, this is the top. This is the cherry on top of all of those. I will say, I like Deep Star 6's creature better than Leviathan's creature.
Ooh,
really?
I like the crustacean because it felt like it exists. Yeah, the arthropod. It felt like it existed, which it does. It's a prehistoric creature. This was created, and I love Stan Winston, and this is right up there, but I also go, well, Stan Winston also created the Predator. You know, like, this is good. Deep Star 6's creature was better, though, for me. I like it a little bit better. We're talking fractions, though. But let's rate this bad boy. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Guys, it's okay. He just wanted his machete back.
Woo! All right. I'll go first just to get mine out of the way.
Okay. Well, I think we're all curious about this. Like, well, I haven't heard Venom tonight. I will say, I haven't heard Venom.
It wasn't because of how much, like, I enjoyed the premise and, like, what it set up here. Because, let's face it, if an Alien ripoff movie, I usually don't, like, hate. Because if you're going to rip off something, you might as well rip off one of the greatest. Like,
exactly.
But my biggest complaint was, and it sounds so stupid, but it was just, like, the kills themselves, like Doc kind of just goes out. So does Cobb. Like, you know, like four of these people just kind of die, like with nothing spectacular happening to them. And I was left kind of just wanting more from the movie. And it wasn't like the tension filled that I felt from the claustrophobia of Alien or that psychosis from The Thing. Like, it felt like they had the ingredients there, but they didn't bake it in the oven for long enough. And so for me, I'm at a 5.5 where it's like, I'd say watch the movie. I regret not seeing this sooner. Maybe as I saw it as a kid, I probably would have liked it, because like that monster's creepy. There is no denying that. The acting in this, the casting of this is great. Like, it has so much going for it that I'm kind of left like how I felt with Virtuosity, where I'm like, oh, like, this exists. I'm cool with that. Like,
right.
Compared to Deep Star 6, where I was just like, I am watching people do their job for an hour. God damn it. Like, move on. This, I'm watching people do their job, but there felt like there were stakes here. And I enjoyed the mystery of the Russian ship where they're going through all their shit. And it's like, hey, you know, Doc, what's this say? Deceased. And they keep naming it. It's like, oh man, like, what happened here? And then it's like, well, they sunk their own ship. And it's like, there's good ideas here. This is one of those prime, like, remake this. Like, this could be, you could do what The Thing did in 2011, where you tell the Russian side of the story. But the problem is Leviathan doesn't have nearly as big of a following as The Thing. So we will probably never get that.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. So, okay. Pete, what about you?
This is a great creature feature. It's not a top 10 level. There are much better creature features out there, but this is definitely one to go see. The monster's beautiful. I think it is tension filled. I like the characters. That's kind of a rarity in creature features, monster movies. I liked it. I think it's a good recommend. It's worth your time. It's pretty. What is it, about 100 minutes or so?
It's like an hour and a half.
Hour 38.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So right around 100 minutes. It's just a. If they hadn't had two endings, we didn't need the sharks at the very end. I mean,
I forgot about the sharks.
Yeah, like that accomplished nothing because like they weren't even a danger. They're just like, oh, what's this? Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
And then the helicopter shows up.
Helicopter's coming.
Okay.
Oh, we got sharks. Uh-oh.
I think something got refilmed or edited.
It felt
it must have.
Yeah.
The whole ending that once they left the ship, that whole ending felt like it was reshot. So I'm real curious if something happened there. Anyway, it's a 7.5. Go out and see this movie. It's worth your time.
Nice. All right.
All right. Charlie, yourself.
No, you know, there's no denying that this is my type of genre when it comes to creature features. I love underwater stuff. It's so funny because I'm terrified of going in the water. You will never find me. There will never be a death certificate that Charlie says drowning or eaten by shark because I'm not going out there. So it's not going to happen.
So a water clown is Charlie's worst nightmare, huh?
I will.
Yes.
I will
be in the middle of the sea.
I will be Bobby. Miguel Ferreira launching a nuclear explosion against it. I will do it. I don't ecology be damned. I'll kill everything. I don't care.
Try not to cause a second natural disaster in 48 hours.
Nope. Going for three. Got to get that hat trick. I have a special place in my heart for Deep Star 6, but this is a better movie, but I love Deep Star 6 more, but this one's a solid 8. This is a high recommend for me. I've seen this one quite a bit. Like I probably watched this one year before last was about the last time I saw it. And I watch it fairly regularly. I own it, but I did watch it on HBO so I could get like the highest of definition, and this movie deserved it.
Yeah, I don't know if it was 4K. I didn't pay attention to see if it said HDR or not, but
I don't think it said that, but
really good.
Like, this is a movie that was worthy of it. Now I will say some of the close-up shots of the body of the creature when they show it moving around, you're kind of like, okay, that's where VHS was king, because that was a lot creepier than I see a plastic suit walking around. But I forgive
so
that.
So wet.
It's just slimy.
So sticky.
It's just moist.
So Steve, what do you give this?
I think I'm going to go right around 7.5 as well. Because I think this movie is fantastic. The creature is amazing. All of these actors are from movies that I loved as a kid, even love now, like Daniel Stern from Home Alone. The girl, the one who committed suicide, she was the girl in Beverly Hills Cop, which is a movie I watched a ton growing up. Yep. And the guy from Rambo, like just the whole cast is so stacked. And like I said, I love the pacing of the story. I was always interested in what was happening. I just think they could have built up a more creepier or more tension-filled atmosphere. You could almost keep the dialogue in this movie exactly the same. You could keep all the same actors. If you just tweaked a little bit of the cinematography here and there, so we get a little bit more sense of like claustrophobia and like we're not just in some ginormous underwater biodome, which is kind of what it feels like at times, because it doesn't feel like Pauly Shore.
Billy Paul when running around.
But yeah, like there's a lot of room for them to do stuff. And like, don't get me wrong, the set decoration was actually gorgeous in this. I was rewatching it earlier, and like they just have things placed in different areas, and it's like, you know that they put a lot of thought into like, hey, why is this here? Who put this here? Like, who does this belong to? And it's not stuff that we'll ever know, but when that stuff's not in a movie, you notice it, but you don't consciously notice it. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm watching like these bigger production movies back to back with like some of the other movies that I watch, I'm starting to notice this stuff, and I'm like, oh, this is what it's missing. I'm missing a good score. I'm missing good set decoration. And again, the score for this was great too. And I'm pretty sure I read a quote that Jerry Goldsmith said he liked this movie better the first time he scored it, I guess referring to Alien.
there are several cues from Alien straight up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, overall, like, I think this is a really good movie, but I think like they had the seeds to be a great movie and it didn't quite get there. But again, it's still amazing, still worth a watch. And yeah, I don't know what else I could really say about it. And again, the ending, so I don't know what happened there. I'd be curious to see if there's other footage unearthed someday and we get like an alternate ending, you know, because either that or they ran out of money. I really don't know which, because something's weird with that ending, though.
It could be a combination of both. It could be that they filmed stuff and then they went, well, we got to do this now. And they went, you're broke. You're out of money. You know, and because they don't feel like they cheapened anything they did in this movie until the ending. Like, I really don't. Mm-hmm. This just, it almost felt like the Hollywood, you want to say soundstage, but the big pool that they always film that is the open water.
Yeah.
That's how this kind of felt to me a little bit, was like, okay, they're just out there floating in the big.
I just don't feel like they have the confidence to film like in water, you know, like at all.
That could be it too.
It's the last 5 minutes of the movie, basically, maybe 10. And it just feels so clunky and weird.
As much as I love this movie, the actual true ending kill is kind of a BS kill.
It's also got like a open stupid one liner. Say, motherfucker.
He nails that toss, but when you're looking at the fish's face, you're like, that would have fell right out of its mouth.
Like, 100%. Yeah.
Floop, and that's how you killed Ernie Hudson. He caught it and went, damn, what a bitch, and dies.
RoboCop, how could you? God, that's Leviathan. We did it, boys.
We did. I'm happy with how Nate responded to this.
I am too. I was just left a little disappointed, is the best way to put it.
I call it a win, because you're sitting here going, I wanted more. They were doing good and I wanted more. That I'm calling a win right then and there. Mm-hmm. You know, so we will take that. Yeah, but
totally fair there.
Well, Nate, you got your thing?
I do.
All right, bust out your semen.
I'm the trash man. I come out, I throw trash all over the ring. And then I start eating garbage. And then I pick up the trash can and I smash the guy on the head.
Oh, that's going to be a disaster.
All right, so this comes from Godfrey Charlie back in 2020. Who gave this 3 out of 10 and said, thankfully, no Leviathan 2. Professor Peter Weller should have never left the classroom for this poorly written distraction. The props are what amazes me the most. Whenever there's a monster to deal with, the weird outlandish weapons come out, like a rifle type thing with four little jets of lit gas spigots and a center orifice. Hence a glorified flamethrower or a triangle shaped chainsaw with a very slow chain that isn't a chain. What are these contraptions needed for at the bottom of the sea inside a vessel? Wasn't a monster hunting expedition, so why the toy weapons? Yes, forget all the weapons, look like toys. Plot, well, there is one, but not anything stylish or entertaining. Stick to the history teacher stuff, Peter. Your documentaries are quite good.
I feel bad that we completely missed out on saying Professor RoboCop the entire
time. I know. I do feel bad about that. I feel bad that we don't talk about the triangle shaped chainsaw, because that thing was awesome. And the space axe.
That I can, like, the chainsaw I can forgive, because I'm like, okay, they're mining. Maybe they need it for some rock shit. Who knows? I can forgive that one. The axe, you're not using an axe underwater. I can tell you that much.
It could be for inside, though. Say you got a breach.
Breaking down samples.
Head, something like that. I think the chainsaw was for the underwater sea worms that they walked through.
Oh, that could be fair.
All right, yeah.
They should have just went slicing through.
I feel like it is for defense, though. And, you know, if you were to put me underwater for 90 days and not give me any weapons, I'd be like, Yeah, but what if there are sea aliens? You don't know.
But I mean, you should see the teeth on the little grinder battery powered thing. The teeth were bigger than the entire tool itself. I'm like, yeah. No one would use that.
Just because it fits
doesn't mean you're supposed to do it.
Okay? If they have that weapon, give me a glorious shot of it going into someone's gut or something. It's just like, you know, like,
yeah.
He cuts the tentacle. At least the grinder comes back out and he cuts the tentacle with it.
It does, like, yes.
But yeah. I do like Ernie Hudson's like, the tool, it's right there. As he's trying to hold the door back. And I'm like, I don't think the door's that heavy.
Someone to get split in half by the door.
Exactly, like the captain on the other one. I was like, I was actually kind of waiting for that first few times I watched this. It's like,
that's how Ernie Hudson's going to die. He's going to get from the crotch, like, just split down the middle.
Split in twain, yeah.
Yeah.
Nope.
At least that would have been a cool death.
That would have been a way to go out, Ernie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll give you that. Yeah. Or show us that the decompression failed in his suit and his little head went pop. You know,
that would have been cool too. Yeah. Gone. At least that would have been something.
Yeah.
Then we could have been like, oh, yeah, they got to decompress. That's maybe they should have thought of that a little bit.
Yeah.
I'll see you thinking when there's a monster right behind us.
I wouldn't have been thinking about decompression.
No.
Nope.
Although, let me go back. I would not be under the water doing any of this stuff in the first place. Thank you, Pete.
Well, no, that's because you don't drill oil. That's why.
Or mine silver or plant nuclear bombs or anything like that. I don't fly and I don't go into water. That's exactly what I don't do, Hannibal.
Oh, God.
Well, Steve, do you want to tell us all about Bucket of Chum and, you know, why? Just why you do it? Like, what's wrong with you? Do you not have any friends? Why is it just you talking into a mic by yourself? I got questions at this point. Like,
it seemed like a good idea at the time. I'm like, man, there's so many weird shark movies out there. What fun that's going to be, because like there's so many good ones. And then I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of good ones, but there's also a lot of really bad ones. A lot of really bad ones. But I try to just take a comedic look at it. So I just kind of break down the plot, like kind of give my thoughts on all of it. I try to deep dive as much as I can, but with a lot of these movies, there's not really anything to dive into. It's a bunch of people had a camera and they said, hey, we could make a shark movie. We don't have access to water or a boat, but like we could make a shark movie. And so they do. And I'm fucking there to watch it and talk about it. And yeah. I don't know else I could really say about it. I don't know why. I honestly don't know why. I think maybe it's just because I saw there were so many weird movies and then I needed to like a creative outlet of some sort. And as much as I love like horror movies and well, I love all kinds really, but I was like, I want to do something that's a little bit different that kind of stands out. And I was like, I think that stands out a little bit. So why not?
It definitely does.
He's not wrong. Even if you don't have access, I mean, what there's Ghost Shark and House Shark. Neither of those are anywhere near water. I don't think.
Yeah.
Also just got Shark at the top. I'm just amazed that none of your friends have been like, yeah, I'll join you in on this. Cause I feel like they're all like, nah, we're good.
Like, I feel like nobody else wants to suffer through that. And I mean, I don't blame anybody. I mean,
it's impressive that you do this for us, the people.
Yeah, for the comedic effect of us listening, how mad you get at some of these.
Yeah.
I do get mad a lot. The last few episodes, I've been pretty upset. Been a little heated.
The one I listened to today, your latest one, I was like, he's really mad at this movie. This Bull Shark, for those that this will come out a couple weeks after that one drops, but he's mad at Bull Shark. And it sounds like it's justified, though, just by your synopsis.
Wait till next week. It'll already be out, but Shark Huntress. Absolutely dog shit pile. Like, I still can't fathom the movie, and I watched it and talked about it, and I'm still just trying to be like, what? Why?
Is that about a babe that's a shark?
No, that would have been better. I would have liked to have watched that movie. That would have been entertaining as hell.
There was disdain in that. No.
Yeah.
Oh, shark with boobs? You can't fail.
And yet, we still have no movies with big titty sharks. Right. What the fuck, Hollywood?
Yet.
You got three-headed sharks. Yet. Why not three boobied sharks?
Exactly. Like, I'm not asking for much, Hollywood. So they're running out of ideas anyways. Like, just fucking throw it all in on that. Why not?
Hear me out. Zombie, shark, strippers. Go.
I can get down with that.
Somebody email Fred. Email
Fred. To find the movies, do you just type in, like, shark, and then you're like, toilet. And then you see what pops up. And then you're like, all right.
I try to find lists, like, because it's actually hard to find, like, a complete list, because even when I find lists that, like, are 180 movies long, there are still some that are missing, and so, like, yeah. I there's some of them I have to really scour for. Some of them, like, pop up out of fucking nowhere. Others, like, people will comment, like, oh, hey, have you heard about this movie? 90% of the time I have, but there's, like, that 10% of the time where it's just like, hey, look at this, and I'm like, wow, what the fuck is this? And
there was a day I walked into Walmart last year, and there was no less than 10 shark movies, all into, like, not the same movie,
10
different shark movies I could buy on DVD at Walmart.
I still don't know who these movies are for. You know, like, usually you know who the general audience is. It's just Steve. That's all in my head. Like,
Jackie, you know how many shark movies I've had to sit through because she's like, that looks interesting, and I'm like, you're falling for it again. Fall for it again.
The cover art, man, it always gets you.
Yeah, the cover art.
It's the same AI artist though for all of them. We're gonna put a big shark with his mouth on the cover and have a babe stand in front of it.
It's an Adobe stock photo. I have it on my computer.
I listened to one today that Steve said it was a clip art shark. And I went, what? And he says it again later. He goes, oh, no, it wasn't animated. It literally was a clip art shark that ate a Tyrannosaurus Rex and went back
Jurassic
into the
work. Too.
Jurassic Shark 2. I was listening to that one today, and I was like, I just want to see that one scene. That's all I want to watch now. Yeah. But how many have you done so far? Where are you at?
I'm on episode 17 of this year, so probably around 65 episodes or so, somewhere around there.
Wow. Still insane.
And it's weekly, right? So you're out every week?
Every week. I mean, I'll take the odd. I haven't taken a week off this year yet, but I'll probably take a week off here and there.
But it's not like you're spreading it out two per month. You're going in weekly, and you've got content for years at least.
Yeah.
Good news. Yeah. There's a Jurassic Shark 3. So,
yep, that'll be coming next year probably. I need to space, like, some of these movies out in between, because, like, this month when I watched, like, three shitty ones back to back to back to back, I was like, holy fuck, man, I don't know if I can keep doing this. Like, one mistake was trying to do all of it in, like, a week and a half period, like, recording a month's worth of episodes. So, like, I won't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's too much. And then, but the breather I usually get is either coming on to, like, other podcasts, like with you guys, or on the Patreon. I can just do whatever the fuck I want on there. And I've picked some interesting movies so far, and I've got a couple of interesting ones coming up. Like, I've got this movie Crabs I'm going to do next month in May.
Crabs.
Yeah.
Like the new Crabs? Pierce Crabs?
It is. We love Crabs.
Oh, we love that movie.
Yeah, so the guy who did the music for this movie did the Bucket of Chum theme song. So nice. I'm a really big fan of it. Yeah, he's Mike Troublecock. He's in a Canadian punk rock band called the Killjoys back in the 90s.
Okay.
But yeah, their big song was Today I Hate Everyone. I don't know if it made it down to the States or not, but yeah.
It's hard.
So yeah, we'd do that movie because I need a good movie to do every once in a while just for my own sanity.
we're friends with the director, Pierce, and we don't say that lightly. We are actually friends with Pierce. We're on good name basis with him. He did an actual, like, video recording for us when we covered it on when we tried our YouTube stuff. We did Crabs on it, and he recorded like a little intro thing for us to thank everyone for supporting it. So hopefully he does more movies. Pierce, if you're listening,
do more movies.
More Crabs.
Yeah.
More Power Rangers.
I thought there was a sequel coming to Crabs at some point.
He talked about it. Again, he's super independent. It's all trying to get the funds and stuff gathered up. Him and Nate, help me, special effects.
Jim Ojala.
We had him on who did the creatures and stuff for Crabs. So we're tied in with that movie pretty tight. So
nice.
We love that one.
Oh, it's such a good time.
Yeah.
Awesome. So yeah, if you guys are not checking out Bucket of Chum, you are missing out on some shark goodness. It's a well done show for being a one man band. I couldn't imagine it.
It's not easy.
I really couldn't. Like, just me talking, I would just drive myself nuts. I just couldn't do it.
No.
I know I got these two with me, and it don't seem much better sometimes.
No, I throw my laptop at you.
They're hot takes about Sigourney Weaver and everything else. So, but speaking of other shows that we've been on, you can check out Pete and myself over at Dissect That Film. It should be out by about now. If not, probably coming out the same week. We cover Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, parentheses in time, technically not the name, but it's what everyone calls it. So we get to go over there. Yeah.
Turtles in Time.
With Parker, and it's not the official title. I know, but it is.
I know.
Me and Pete get to talk about that, and I think we are also supposed to show up on Flicks and Friends on their Under 10 Rotten Tomato Month. So you guys think I'm bad to you, you know, with some of these things. We're not doing that. So we get to pick one, and we bring a Steven Seagal movie to the table. So that
you're welcome.
Exactly.
Everyone.
Everyone.
You're so welcome.
I have to save money to watch this flipping movie.
I know. It came off of Tubi. When this got picked.
The week we decided to do it.
My favorite part is I went, we'll do Half Past Dead with them. And then I dipped out. Went, sorry, guys, I can't be part of the show.
Yeah. So now Nate picked it, and we are all stuck with it.
Best
like
prank
Pete
of the
said,
year.
Like Pete said, Pete and I have to pay for this piece of shit. Dustin found it for $1 the other day and sent me a picture of it.
All you had to do was walk into a local thrift store, both of you, and you would have found mountains of it.
I live in BFE. There is no local thrift store.
Everyone in Virginia holds on to their copies of Steven Seagal movies.
We all. Yeah.
No one gets rid of them.
Tight hold on Steven Seagal
family
and Jarl
heirlooms.
Yeah. This will be passed down from generation to generation. The currency will be who is the man with the most Steven Seagal DVDs.
And if you have the energy drink, you are basically the billionaire of that economy right there. So that's how that works. So yeah, that's where you can find us there. You can also find us over on Facebook at Give Me Back My Horror Movies, the Facebook group. Give Me Back My Action Movies, the Facebook group. Both of us are on Instagram. We are on X. We are on Threads. We are on TikTok. And I think it's still going on YouTube. I haven't checked it in a while. Who knows? We might have gotten banned by Disney by now. Who even knows?
Well,
anymore?
After this one, who knows?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We did Three Musketeers, so they already got their eye on us for some reason. So that happens. So yeah, you can follow us anywhere there. You can also find Bucket of Chum over on Instagram. Where else are you there?
Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Slasher, all at Bucket of Chum Podcast. YouTube as well, Bucket of Chum Podcast, and Patreon.com / Bucket of Chum and Bucket of Chum Podcast.com.
Yeah, man's everywhere.
He's really good at that.
Just spreading that bucket of chum all over the place.
I love spreading my chum everywhere I go. Everywhere I go, I'm spilling my chum around.
That's right.
that tracks today.
With all the talk of semen, of course we're going to talk about chum.
Yeah, fair.
All right, boys, is there anything else for today?
If everyone could just do us a favor.
Oh,
if
I
you're
forgot.
Listening
oh,
to this right. on Spotify or you're listening to this on Apple, maybe just give us a little click on the review and give us however many stars that you feel we are worthy. Be honest. It's cool.
Yeah. Five across the board.
And if you want to write a review on Apple, you can, but just click the button. We're going to probably have a little contest coming up once we figure out how to do a contest for this. Yeah. But in the meantime, if you could kind of help us out, because that's what helps grow the show. It helps us reach further in the audience. And if there's one thing I hate more than anything is watching literally anything on YouTube where, like, you start to watch the video, like, hey, by the way, make sure that you start subscribing, like this video, and that way you get notified for more videos. I'm like, I really don't want to ever
smash that bell icon and make sure you're notified of every episode
button. They are the 90s DJs, and I hate influencers with a burning passion, but somehow I'm a content creator, I suppose, and it'd be really cool if, you know, you left us some reviews. You're already listening, yeah. And you know we love you. You know that because you're still listening.
Maybe.
Just don't make me beg.
If you're not listening, fuck you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You're not listening, so you won't hear it.
You're not going to hear it. But like, the more that you guys do this now, the less that I will ever have to be like and subscribe us and share us out. Like I hate that. You have no idea. Like I literally have. I think I subscribe to 3 things on YouTube because of how much I hate it.
Like, and unsubscribed immediately as soon as they said, "Please don't forget to like and subscribe."
Honestly, yeah. I'm like, I'm out. I'm just like, I fucking hate you.
Like, I would rather punch this title in the search bar than follow you. Ooh, yeah. That's exactly what I would rather do.
I would much rather make my job life more difficult than get a notification that you put out a top 10 PlayStation 1 video games that no one heard about. I don't give a fuck.
Like, newsflash, we heard about it from the 20 other dudes that did that exact
guess
same
what?
Video.
You like it? And that's totally cool on our end, because every episode comes out on Tuesday. You already know this about us. Like, just fucking hit the button. God damn it.
All right, Nate, wow. It's time for him to eat a candy bar and take a nap.
Yeah, because I don't like after ask for this stuff.
It's all right. It's totally fine. All right. Well, thanks everybody for checking us out. Please go rate us over at Spotify and Apple. It's not like someone arbitrarily put a number that someone could hit before someone else. So that has nothing to do with this. But thank you. And this is the end of Month of Chaos, which I guess means we can tell them what's happening next week. There's no mystery behind
next week. I don't remember.
So next week is the action pick. We are covering The Rundown, starring the one, the only Tom Selleck. No, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, dude. What is
it? Oh, did I get the wrong movie again?
Did you get Runaway?
I did. Absolutely did.
Also a fantastic movie starring Gene Simmons and tiny little robots. I recommend you watch it.
I was excited to see The Runaway.
Keep that one, but this one get The Rundown.
Sean William Scott and The Rock and Christopher Walken. No theme. We're just picking some cool-ass movies to cover. Half of these themes are your idea, Nate. Stop it.
Yeah, but then I get put into a corner. No one puts Nate in a corner.
Nobody puts Nate in a corner.
I'd be happy to start picking movies again.
No, it's all okay, right. Pete. Back to having themes.
You wait till your birthday, damn it. But yeah, so next week we're covering The Rundown, which is just going to be a lot of fun. It's a good, fun action movie, and then we'll announce what the horror movie is after that. If we,
well, I'm glad I made an ass of myself. This would have.
I'm really glad this came out, because that would be an awkward conversation that only I would be able to follow you, because I don't think Nate's ever seen The Runaway. That was a first season double feature, Free Jack and Runaway. So if you want to painfully go through one of my first season shows, check it out. No, don't. Just watch the movie. Don't go.
Yeah, who keeps
downloading
the first attempt at Con Air? Stop doing that.
Yeah,
you're wasting an hour and 40 minutes of your life. There's a way better version that we did.
If it wouldn't erase our numbers, I would delete them. But, you know, they're there. They're for posterity, so we know where we are. But
just don't listen to the original Con Air, guys. That's all I'm saying. If you see that there's a newer Con Air, you got to think to yourself, they probably did this for a reason.
We did. We definitely did. All right, Nate, get us out of here.
Freeze, Leviathan. Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
Now, let's talk about how I get back home.
Good off the cuff there, Nate. I like that. That was well done.
Yeah, that was good.
Well, I'm sorry that this, you know, Leviathan's not known for its witty dialogue and quotable quips all throughout.
Say ah, motherfucker! Is that it? Are we ending on that?
I mean, is there any other movies where RoboCop shoots stuff that maybe we could watch?
I don't know,
there
but
must
he did
be.
He did do a movie called Naked Lunch. I don't know if anyone's naked.
I know or two things wrong lunch. With the title of that movie.
Did he do like
definitely
an
watched
movie
it
with Sam Elliott? Isn't that a thing?
Probably. I haven't looked.
That sounds
at
right, Nate. That sounds familiar.
That sounds yeah. right. Yeah. Right. Add that to the list.
Done. All right.
Good.